I come back again to the foundation that's been laid for this, and that is the destruction of marriage as it is accepted. You marry for life. That you have children. That you behave in certain ways. And again, I say that it's been established. No one is going to change it. There is not a politician on this planet who has the I won't say the desire, because undoubtedly some would, but would have the ability to set things back. The only way it's ever going to change, any of this is going to change, is if it is a public demand. And I see nothing on the horizon that's going to lead to that.
That could be true. I've only been in New Zealand for two days now.
Here, so. There, your place, wherever.
Well, so I don't think that's true in the United States. And that's certainly not true in various other nations. We saw over a million people show up in Paris for a march to support marriage understood as the union of a man and a woman. And Paris is probably one of the most secular of societies in the world right now. And these weren't people making religious arguments. Some of the leaders of the Paris march were actually gays and lesbians themselves, saying, just because I'm attracted to another man or to another woman doesn't give me a right to deny a child both a mother and a father. And so I don't think human history is not quite as monolithic and unidirectional as I think you're suggesting it is, in which, you know, there's just a certain direction in which change takes place. Human history is ultimately the result of human choices. And there's no reason to think that human beings can't make choices to shape the future in a good direction rather than just going down the road of whatever technology and elite progress, progress in scare quotes, tells us to do.
But people now have more opportunity than ever to behave the way that they want and the way they choose. We have been, the brakes have been taken off of behavior in society pretty much, apart from some obvious aspects. So that you're free to do whatever you want. You no longer get condemned for living with someone before you get married, having a child out of wedlock, being a single mother who goes and gets a sperm donor from a clinic. So there is a lack of condemnation. So that means that there is an acceptance, and to change it, it's not necessarily just doing whatever technology says. It's a moral adjustment as well.
And the question here is going to be, do you think that the phenomena that you just described are conducive to human flourishing or not? And if they're not conducive to human flourishing, if they leave devastation in their wake, will future generations say that this generation made a mistake? And will they say the evidence is in, it's actually not a good idea to have cohabiting families, or it's not a good idea to have single parenting arrangements for children, and that adults need to actually take responsibility and do what's in the best interest for the children they create. We saw that happen in the United States. We had a campaign against teen pregnancy. It more or less stopped teen pregnancy. This was before the same-sex marriage debate, but in the 80s and the 90s, both left and right, both liberals and conservatives, agreed that teenagers shouldn't be having children, and they organized, and they had a campaign, and they've delayed it. We still have a problem with single parenting, but it's no longer teenagers. It's now adults. There's no reason to think that we can't make progress on that issue as well.
More with Ryan Anderson shortly. In April of this year, the Washington Post, which is a very liberal newspaper, the Washington Post, ran a front-page profile of Anderson, and his work's been featured in major newspapers and magazines. New York Times, Washington Post, The Wall Street Journal, USA Today, The Washington Examiner, National Review, The Weekly Standard. The list goes on and on. It's also appeared in journals such as the Harvard Journal of Law and Public Policy. First Things, the Claremont Review of Books, The New Atlantis. The list is too long to go on with. His previous positions include assistant editor of First Things, Robert Novak, the Robert Novak Journalism Fellow, and executive director of the Witherspoon Institute, where he was research assistant to Robert George, who was here, I think about 2 years ago. We'll have him back in a couple of minutes. The Ryan T. Anderson, the author of the book Truth Overruled, The Future of Marriage and Religious Freedom. I want to move on to the religious freedom aspect of it. In relation to the changes to marriage that we have and still continue to witness, in your part of the world in particular, we haven't confronted it here, and I just can't see it. Well, at this point, I can't see it happening. We are a little more, shall we say, benign, less aggressive, but that could all change. In the States, if a candlestick maker doesn't want to make a candle for a gay wedding, they can get prosecuted. So that is an infringement on their religious liberty. And it seems to me that it's very aggressive and widespread. It also seems to me that, well, I know that in the cases of the cake makers and the photographers, etc., they're being set up because there is plenty of option. So they're being set up. So what does this mean as far as your take on this, as far as religious liberty and its future is concerned? Which to me, I have to say, I don't care what I believe at this point of time. It's irrelevant. It is what is relevant is that people have retained the liberty that we expect them to have.
I think that's exactly right. People have a right to be wrong. So it doesn't mean that I only protect people's freedom when I agree with them. I should protect people's religious liberty even when I disagree with their religion, even when I disagree with the viewpoint that they seek the freedom to hold. This is one of the great things about America historically, was that, you know, we could be a country of Protestants and Catholics, Christians and Jews, atheists, agnostics, now Muslims, and we could all live together peaceably, because while we all disagreed with each other about the nature of God and of religious truth, we could all respect each other's freedoms.
But all that is changing. Why?
Because as you mentioned, you contrasted New Zealand to America. You said you weren't as aggressive. There now seems to be some aggressive activists in the United States who want to stamp out any residual belief that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. So it's intolerable that the Catholic Church runs an adoption agency that tries to find orphans' homes with moms and dads. They sue Catholic charity adoption agencies to say, you have to do same-sex adoptions or else you're discriminating. They sue a 70-year-old evangelical florist because she doesn't want to do the wedding flowers for a same-sex wedding. What's interesting about this grandmother is that she's had gay employees, and she was selling flowers to this particular gay couple for a decade. So it wasn't that she was anti-gay.
You mean the gay couple that
subsequently asked for the same-sex wedding.
Well, hang on. Isn't there that changes the ballgame just a wee bit. Here are regular customers who've given her money, done service with her, business with her for 10 years, and they simply want to continue. There's a continuation aspect to this.
Yep, and her response here is, look, I have no problem doing get well soon flowers, happy birthday flowers. Mm-hmm. My only objection is to same-sex wedding flowers, because the wedding flowers violate my belief about the nature of marriage. The same-sex couple didn't sue her. It was the attorney general for the state who sued her.
State of?
In this case, it's she's in Washington state. And it was to make a point. It was to make a point that this type of bigotry or intolerance is unacceptable.
But how did it become exposed that this was the case? They must have told the
Someone
story.
Someone mentioned it on Facebook, and then it got circulated. So they themselves didn't bring the suit. In a free society, a tolerant society, you say live and let live. If you're in favor of gay marriage, bake a gay wedding cake, do the gay wedding flowers. If you're not in favor of it, don't have the government coerce you. Don't have the government penalize you. There's one baker in the state of Oregon, they were fined $135,000 for declining to bake a same-sex wedding cake. Mm-hmm. They had to shut down their business.
Yep.
The husband's now a trash collector.
Well, there's more than one.
It's happened multiple times. I mean, that's the most that penalty is the highest we've seen. $135 US is a lot of money. And there's no need for it. There's no need for the government to coerce people into violating their beliefs about marriage.